I'm 8 years cancer-free. This did not happen overnight. The recovery piece was so hard for me. I had severe PTSD and anxiety. I was so frozen. I was sick to my stomach and my body was not working after chemo. I started by figuring out what worked for me, what actually helped my body, what supported it. These healing foundational tools I'm going to share with you have completely changed how I feel day to day. One of my favorites and one of the easiest is 100% medicine and necessity for longevity and for cancer prevention. That can help reduce a reoccurrence rate by 40 to 50% in certain cancers. If the cancer comes back, then I know I've done everything absolutely in my power to help myself. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Cancer Proof Living. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Michelle, an 8-year non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer survivor, mom, and integrative nutrition health coach. After cancer, I wanted more than survival, so I built the healing roadmap that I couldn't find. Now I guide survivors and cancer-conscious humans to detox, rebuild, and thrive. In today's solo episode, I'm sharing the 8 daily habits I refuse to skip, even on the hardest days. And you guys, grab a pen and paper. You will want to take notes on this one. I share some amazing tips that make incorporating these daily habits easy and seamless. Enjoy this episode. This is one of my most favorite things to talk about, and that is my daily habits and things that I never skip depending on the day. I don't care if it's the best day of my life or the worst day of my life. These healing foundational tools I'm going to share with you have completely changed how I feel day to day, which is really important for me. And I want you to know this. I'm 8 years cancer-free. This did not happen overnight. This happened over the course of probably the last 5 years in particular. For me, I had stage 2 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and although I went through chemo, and then that was very tough and a really rough course, the recovery piece was so hard for me. I really, really struggled with repairing my body and my gut and my mindset. I had severe PTSD and anxiety. I was isolated. I was 32. I didn't know what to do with my life once cancer treatments ended, because I was a completely different person from the inside out. And I didn't know who I was at that point. I didn't know how to get back to quote unquote normal life. I didn't know that I couldn't probably go back to the job that I had. I couldn't put myself back in the environment that really, I think, contributed to me getting sick in the first place. So the first 2 years for me in particular, I was so stuck in fight, flight, or freeze. At any point, I was in freeze for probably about a good year and a half. I didn't know what to do. I was so frozen. I was sick to my stomach and my body was not working after chemo. It was horrific. And no one could help me and no one wanted to touch me because I went through cancer. I was not a normal case. So that was really frustrating. Once I got over kind of this state of freeze, I realized I can take back my control. I'm somebody that by nature is a type A personality. I like everything in its spot. I can have a little OCD tendencies. I like my control, but I also really, really love the go, go, go lifestyle. My to-do list was my Bible. I tied my self-worth to it. I tied my personality to it. My career, my job, all of these things were the most important things to me. I loved being go, go, go. I loved that mentality and that life. What I didn't realize is that it was silently killing me. It was burning me out. I was overwhelmed. I was exhausted. My nervous system couldn't handle it on top of all the other stress that was happening in my life. So for me, by nature, I like to take things into my own hands and regain control over my life. I will say something that helped me get out of that freeze mode after the first year and a half was I was in therapy. I was in therapy all throughout my cancer journey and then post-cancer as well. And I started going to cancer about 6 months prior to being diagnosed because I had so much grief after losing my mom. I was so stuck in it. So my therapist at the time really helped me become unstuck and process everything that was happening. Once the freeze became undone, I thought, okay, this is my opportunity to rebuild my health from the inside out and to do it the way I wanted to do it. I felt like I finally could take control of my health and my life. And I knew that chemo just came in and completely destroyed everything in my body. We know chemo doesn't just target cancer cells, it targets all the cells. So I knew my immune system was down. I knew that everything was completely destroyed in my body. So I thought to myself, there's nothing I can do about that right now. What I can do is rebuild it in the most healthy and proper way possible. How do I do that? And that's what really started my journey to rebuilding my health, which I soon realized health is a broad term. Yes, it's my nutrition. Yes, it's my gut. Yes, it's my blood sugar, my immune function, but it's also my mind, my body, and my soul. It was finding that purpose, figuring out what fills my cup, understanding who I was after cancer, redefining myself, and really, instead of being a victim to my situation, saying, you know what, I'm going to take control and redesign my future. Cancer stole so much of my past and my present at that time. I absolutely refused to let it steal my future. So I started by figuring out what worked for me, what actually helped my body, what supported it and my mindset. And I started to build these daily habits and integrate them into my lifestyle. And you guys, it's fantastic. I mean, I'm addicted to it now because you feel so good when you realize healthy habits actually help you and help you long term. And not only that, I feel so much more control of my health because although we cannot control so much out there in the world, including cancer, I do know there's so much we can control. My diet, my lifestyle, my sleep, my movement, etc. There's so much out there. So knowing that I'm being a go-getter in regards to taking control of my health and continuing to push myself and choose tools that genuinely help me, I feel like I'm taking my life back. And if the cancer comes back, then I know I've done everything absolutely in my power to help myself. And that starts with building a foundation. So the 8 daily habits that we're going to talk about today that I'm going to go over in a little bit more detail is really also the building blocks of the foundation of health. You cannot have one without the other. And truly, longevity, cancer prevention, you know, preventing a reoccurrence, all of this ties back to the exact same thing, the foundation of your health. The foundation of your health is the building blocks that you put in place day by day. Okay. These are my building blocks. I'm going to share them with you. And I will tell you science-backed information that supports why these building blocks are so successful and so great for cancer prevention and preventing a reoccurrence. So if you're out there and you're listening and you're a preventer, this is a great episode for you. If you're a survivor, it's a great episode for you as well. Let's get started. So first and foremost, is gratitude practice. This is what I think about the first thing when I wake up. My alarm goes off and I think about things that I'm grateful for. The gratitude list is so incredibly important. I started it so many years ago. It probably had to be 5 years ago. I will be honest, when I started it, I kind of thought it was woo-woo a little bit. I'm like, okay, like what can a gratitude list really do for me? Am I really going to feel the benefits? Yeah, right. But I thought I have nothing to lose. Why not? And when I started this, I was in such a negative mindset from cancer and just such a fear-based mindset where I'm like, I'll do anything I can to not let this cancer come back. If a gratitude list is that, fine, let's just give it a go. Let's try it. So going into it, I was kind of a wreck. I was a nervous wreck. I was anxious. My mindset was all over the place. But I can honestly say now, 5 years later, I am so addicted to this gratitude list and it brings me so much joy, so much peace of mind, and so much love throughout the day. So every day, every morning, I write down 3 to 5 things that I'm personally grateful for. It sounds simple, and it is simple at first, but the impact is truly profound on our health. So at first, when you start off, it might be like, oh, I'm grateful for the sunshine, I'm grateful for a good night's sleep, or a hot cup of tea or a hot shower, right? You start to be like, oh, this is easy. I can easily do this. The longer and longer you do it, the harder it is. And it really challenges you to look inward. When you've exhausted all of the material, fast, easy things that you can think of, you're going to wake up one morning and be like, gosh, like, what am I grateful for? And it makes you go inward in such a different way and think about life in a way. Like, maybe I'm really grateful for having deep, meaningful relationships that support me after cancer, or just finding that one person that totally gets me. It makes you think so much deeper about the relationships in your life and the other aspects of your life that maybe you pass by, and I don't want to say take for granted, but it's just leaning on deaf ears a little bit more. So there's research from US Berkeley that shows gratitude decreases activity in the amygdala, the brain's fear and stress center, while boosting serotonin and dopamine. These are all fantastic things. And for survivors, gratitude is medicine. I say whenever I'm getting anxious, whenever I'm in a bad mood, I go to gratitude. It lowers anxiety. It helps improve sleep. It regulates cortisol and the body, which is the body's main stress hormone. But it isn't just mindset work. It literally rewires your brain and helps your body shift out of survival mode. So it's something I use in my coaching practice for preventers and survivors all the time. The gratitude list is key. Number two is morning sunlight. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to take a little bit of a deep dive into this because it's one of my favorite topics. So within the first hour of waking, I'm outside, I'm watching the sunrise, or I'm outside walking my dog or having a cup of tea outside or whatever the case is. I let my eyes not go directly into the sunlight. You don't have to stare at the sun when you're doing morning sunlight. Like, you don't have to be psycho about it. Don't worry about it. What you want to do is go outside and just let the rays of the sun look up at the sky, look at your surroundings. Your body will grasp it. It's fantastic. It's not just a nice to do in the morning. It's really critical for hormonal balance. It helps regulate the circadian rhythm, which controls our cortisol, our melatonin, and even our blood sugar and metabolism, which we know is so crucial for health, longevity, and prevention. And I mentioned melatonin. We often think of melatonin as a sleep hormone, or we associate melatonin with sleep a lot, but it's also a powerful anti-cancer hormone. Studies show that melatonin helps suppress tumor growth. It acts as a strong antioxidant and supports immune surveillance, which is the process that your body uses to destroy and detect abnormal cells, such as cancerous cells. So we really want to keep our immune surveillance up in the right place. Getting sunlight in the morning helps set your internal clock, so that circadian rhythm that I talked about. And when we set our internal clock, melatonin is released at night. It starts the whole process. So that means deeper restorative sleep and protection at the cellular level. Great for prevention, great for survivorship. Want to win over $750 worth of wellness goodies? I'm hosting a giveaway to celebrate the launch of my new podcast and to say thank you for being a part of this amazing community. Here's what one lucky winner will get: a $100 Amazon gift card to kickstart your low toxin living journey, a $100 gift card to Primarily Pure to help you stock up on all your favorite non-toxic personal care items, my Eat to Heal collection, which includes three different meal plans that support your gut, your hormones, and inflammation, packed with healing recipes, grocery lists, food swaps, and so much more, a free one-on-one consult or Q&A session with me, and my ultimate product guide to non-toxic living. That's a total of over $750 in value up for grabs. Here's how to enter. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, Cancer Proof Living. Like this video, comment below, and tell me one healthy change you made or you are making in order to support yourself during your healing journey, and tag three of your favorite health and wellness besties. That's it. I'll be announcing the winner on November 4th during episode 5. So make sure you're subscribed on my YouTube channel, Cancer Proof Living, and have notifications turned on so you don't miss it. Thank you for being here, for showing up for your health, and for being a part of this growing community. I can't wait to read your comments and cheer you on. Number three is probably one of my favorites and one of the easiest. It's matcha tea. I love matcha green tea. I've been drinking it on and off for years. So there's a little bit of a difference between matcha tea and green tea, okay? Let's go over that just really quick. Matcha tea is more potent than just green tea. Regular tea is steeped and discarded, right? Matcha is how it's made. It's stone ground whole leaves. So you're taking the whole leaf, which has more antioxidants and more fiber, and you're grounding the whole leaf. So you consume the entire plant. When we are consuming the entire plant, it is delivering about 3 times the antioxidants to your body, which is fantastic. Matcha also contains EGCG, which research shows can target and kill cancer cells, reduce tumor growth, block angiogenesis, which is tumor blood vessel formation, and lower inflammation and oxidative stress. Also, all wonderful things. Green tea also contains EGCG, so if you're drinking green tea, you're also getting that. But there's also research, actually in Dr. Lee's book, Eat to Beat Disease. You can see it right over here. He talks about how matcha green tea can help kill cancer stem cells. We know that there's not treatments out there that help kill cancer stem cells, but there is certain foods that we can eat to help kill cancer stem cells. And stem cells are kind of like what's left over or laying dormant in our body after cancer treatments. And sometimes they can be reactivated, which can cause like a reoccurrence. So if we know that there's no treatments or medications that can kill the cancer stem cells, why not consume the foods that will help us do that as well? So matcha is one of them. So it's just a fantastic drink to add to your morning. It also is rich in L-theanine, which balances caffeine for calm and steady energy. So you're not getting kind of that caffeine rise and crash. And for me, it's just a daily ritual. It's a cancer-fighting powerhouse rolled into one, and I absolutely love it. I usually drink it after my breakfast, and I drink hot tea with lemon and amino acids and my Shilajit in the morning, but matcha absolutely comes in after I eat my breakfast. My favorite brand is Peak because it's not a tea bag. We want to stay away from tea bags because we know tea bags release millions and millions and millions of microplastics when put in hot water and it's steeping. So Peak I love because they're tea crystals that you pour into your cup and they actually dissolve in warm water and you're not getting that microplastic contamination. Or you can just get loose matcha tea or green tea and put it in a steeper, you know, in the tea balls. So you're not getting the microplastics that way too. Okay, so number four is daily movement. This one is really, really incredibly important. It's one of the most free and easy tools we have at our fingertips. Exercise is 100% medicine and necessity for longevity going forward and for cancer prevention. 100%. Studies show that regular activity can reduce reoccurrence risk by up to 40 to 50% in certain cancers. But movement is also one of the most effective tools we have for stress and anxiety relief. And if you're an avid exercise person, then you know this. You already are feeling kind of the benefits for it. When you move, your body releases endorphins. This helps boost those good mood feelers, and it helps reduce pain perception. Movement also helps lower cortisol and balance neurotransmitters like serotonin and dopamine, and it helps regulate the nervous system, and it helps with blood sugar control as well. So these are all fantastic things as cancer preventers and survivors that we really want to focus on and incorporate more into our life. And let me circle back to that first sentence I said, that research has shown that exercise, and I believe the exercise stats is about 3 times a week, some sort of resistance training or weightlifting, and then about 150 minutes per week of some sort of cardio. So think about taking a walk for 30 minutes for 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. That is what research shows to be very beneficial. But that can help reduce a reoccurrence rate by 40 to 50% in certain cancers. And I think it's specifically the hormonal cancers. That stat is so fantastic. That alone should make you motivated to want to get out there and work out. And even walking also helps reduce anxiety, especially if you can do it outside. That's also a grounding practice that helps reduce anxiety. A 2021 review in Frontiers in Psychiatry found physical activity to be as effective as some medications for reducing mild to moderate anxiety. So if you are somebody that's suffering with PTSD and chronic anxiety after cancer, this is such a great way to help support your body. So the personal exercises that I love to do, I love to walk. I'm a huge walker. I love being outside and walking. I live in the Midwest, so when I can take advantage of the weather, I'm going to do it, and you will see me outside walking. Sprints. Sprints are like magic for your body. It boosts mitochondrial health, insulin sensitivity, and mental resilience. And it's short bursts. When I say sprints, I will do 5 rounds of sprints, 30 seconds of walking, 30 seconds of running for 5 rounds. It's less than 10 minutes of your day. And think about it. When we were kids and we were outside, we were sprinting all around without even realizing it. We're running to play tag. We're, you know, running down the street or just chasing our friends. We were sprinting all the time. It's really, really great for your body for all these reasons that I just mentioned. And it's so easy and it's so quick to do. Also, strength training and the weighted vest walks. This is really key. It builds muscle, it stabilizes blood sugar, supports bones, which is great for if anyone has bone density issues, and it increases your confidence. When you are lifting weights and getting stronger, you are supporting your body, you feel better, your whole body starts to change. It's such a fantastic way to support yourself. And I'm severely addicted to the weighted vest walks now. I'm always wearing a weighted vest. I love it. It really strengthens my core in such a different way as well. And I feel stronger. It makes me feel really good at the end of the day. And then yoga or Pilates. I'm more of a Pilates girl than a yoga girl, but it supports mobility and strength and nervous system regulation. So also good exercises to sprinkle in throughout your routine or just to play around with. If you're somebody that's like, I only do dancing or like Zumba, or I only do walking, Try really, really slowly. Add one day of resistance training, even if it's just body weight. It's going to make a difference. You will feel different. Strengthening your muscles is the best gift that you can give yourself. And remember, like, the goal isn't perfection. You don't need to be doing this 5 days a week, every day at 12 o'clock for an hour straight. It's not perfection. It's consistency. Consistency over perfection all day, every day. Movement protects the body and the mind. It is a full body healing system. So I challenge you to think about your own movement practice, what you do, what your schedule is like, and maybe you don't have a schedule. Again, try adding one day a week to really start challenging yourself. And I promise you, you will love the difference and you will feel the difference 10 times more. Okay, number 5 is a protein-rich breakfast. If you follow me on Instagram, I talk about this quite often. I think it's so incredibly important. Me personally, I was somebody that was doing oats every morning and more carb-based sugars, and I felt inflamed a lot. I wasn't supporting myself with protein first thing, and I started to shift that. And I really feel like it's such an instrumental change. So I started ditching the carb-heavy breakfast for protein-rich ones. Protein stabilizes blood sugar, which is just key. And we want to keep our blood sugar managed throughout the day. This is so incredibly important for cancer prevention. It's key. Protein also reduces cortisol spikes and keeps energy steady. You're not having those constant crashes, which helps with weight management, helps with your mood stability. It helps with so much. You don't realize how important that breakfast can be in the morning and how much it truly affects your hormones, your mood, and your energy throughout the day. It also provides me with amino acids needed for tissue repair, especially after cancer treatments, immune function, and hormone balance, all critical for recovery and prevention, okay? A simple protein-forward breakfast truly sets the tone for the whole day. And I'll share with you my favorite breakfast I've been doing right now. I'm such a creature of habit. I really try to add diversity to my diet and make sure I'm changing things up. But right now I'm loving just scrambled eggs or hard-boiled eggs. I do some sauerkraut. I do broccoli microgreens, huge cancer-fighting powerhouse. And I also do cooked smoked salmon. I do not eat raw fish anymore, so I do cooked smoked salmon. And I kind of put it all together as like a little scramble. I put the microgreens on top. And it's so fantastic. And I also do a little cup of coconut kefir with some berries for additional fiber and antioxidants. And this helps with my gut health. I'm getting yogurt and probiotics in the kefir. And I feel so full, so satisfied. It will literally keep me full for about 4.5 hours, maybe sometimes 5 hours. But I feel so good. I don't have those energy crashes. And my mood and my energy is just key. It's on point for the entire day. So that's my go-to breakfast. Just a little piece of advice. The protein-rich breakfast is a total game changer. Okay, number 6 is built-in stress breaks. Like I said when we started this podcast, you know, I'm such a go, go, go kind of person. And I remember my therapist telling me, like, you'll know when you're healed and when you're better, when you can sit and do nothing and not beat yourself up over it and not feel like you're being not productive or anything like that. So for me, building in stress breaks throughout the day was so critical. It still is critical, but it also is something that I naturally resist. It's really hard for me to stop and take those breaks. But when I do this day to day, I put an alarm in my calendar and I do this throughout the day. I can't even tell you how much it helps. It helps my nervous system. It helps my mental stress, my mental load. It's honestly one of the best tools that I use throughout the day. So this might be 5 minutes of deep breathing. It might be a walk. It might be journaling. It might be a 7 to 10 minute meditation, whatever it is. And it's kind of like what I need in that day, right? You know, doing the same thing every single day, yeah, it's great. And it sounds great in theory, but if it's not actually relieving your stress, it's not going to help. So some days I'm like, I'm more anxious or I just have more energy. I need to go for a walk. I need to be outside. And it helps me so much. Some days I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so overstimulated. I have so much on my plate. My load is so high. I need a meditation to ground. So I don't put myself in a box of like, you have to meditate every single day. This is my stress toolkit that I have. Let me choose one of the tools that are going to support me for that day. How am I feeling? So that also means slowing down and checking in with myself. So throughout the day, I'll put mini alarms on my calendar. My alarm goes off for a mini break and I stop and I'm like, deep breath. How am I feeling? What do I need? Am I feeling overwhelmed? Am I feeling calm? Do I just need a few deep breaths? Do I need to get up and get some water? Do I need to take a walk outside? What do I need? And I start pulling the tools that I have in my toolbox and putting them into practice. One of my favorites is the psychological sigh. It's 2 quick inhales followed by a long exhale. It instantly calms the nervous system and lowers cortisol. It's truly such a quick fix. I do this in traffic all the time. I do it when I'm with my kids. I do it when I'm by myself. It's such a great hack. If you haven't tried it, try it. And we have to remember that chronic stress isn't just mental. It shapes our biology. It increases inflammation. It weakens the immune system, and it can create a cancer-friendly environment. So stress breaks and stress relief, these mini breaks throughout the day, interrupt the cycle before stress becomes chronic stress. And that is what we want. You know, we hear about chronic stress and how closely related it is to chronic inflammation and disease. So it's like, how do we break that cycle? This is how we break that cycle, by scheduling these mini breaks, by committing to the calendar, by trying different tools to see what really helps our body come down from it. Break the cycle before it becomes a chronic stress situation, okay? Number 7, which is one of my favorites, dry brushing, sweating, and detox baths. These are my favorite self-care things because I just truly enjoy them so much. I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I had 4 blood clots in my left arm. I had armpit surgery, and I had a 10 centimeter by 10 centimeter tumor that was resting against my heart. Everything for me happened on my left side, and every complication or ache and pain I ever get is always on my left side. My left side is so damaged because I have scar tissue here by my heart and my armpit and all down my left arm. Because the blood vessels have been damaged from the blood clots, I have lymphedema. I can swell up very easily. You might not be able to see it. I can see it. I can feel it. My arm feels heavy. Sometimes it's tingling. Sometimes it'll even go into tingling into my left breast. So lymphedema has become a part of my life post-cancer. I actually didn't start getting signs of lymphedema until I was about 6 years out from cancer. And I also realized that more chronic inflammation was happening in my body. I got diagnosed with Hashimoto's after I had my second daughter. So other areas of inflammation were increasing in my body, which created this lymphedema to come out and to actually get worse. Now I have reversed the Hashimoto's and I'm in such a better place. And I've really eliminated those root causes of chronic inflammation. So my lymphedema is down by like 95%. Like I don't feel it, but I do notice swelling when I'm not taking or when I've gone too long without doing self-care or getting a lymphatic massage or something like that. So I do these things daily to help support my lymphedema, but also just my lymphatic health. It is a priority. And you guys have to remember that the lymphatic system doesn't have a pump like the heart. So our heart is a pump. It pumps blood and our blood circulates all throughout our body. Our lymphatic system does not have a pump. It's up to us to move our lymphatic system out. We do not want a sluggish lymphatic system. Our lymphatic system is responsible for removing toxins and waste out of our body. If we are not moving, if we're not assisting or supporting or helping our lymphatic system, toxins can just build up in our body over and over. We do not want that. We want our body to be working like a well-oiled machine and support it in every way possible. So it relies on movement and manual stimulation. So one of my favorite things is dry brushing. I dry brush before baths, before showers, once a day. It stimulates lymph flow and helps with circulation. Sweating through exercise, obviously, but also through saunas and hot baths. This helps eliminate toxins, and I love it. I do detox baths at least 3 times a week. They're my go-tos. It's my ultimate favorite. I have a detox bath, like bath salts that I use. I get from Primarily Pure, actually. They're fantastic. But you can also make your own. When I run out or if I didn't order enough in time, I just use what I have at home. So 2 cups of Epsom salt and 1 cup of baking soda. And then you can drop some essential oils into the bath. So lavender, eucalyptus, peppermint, anything that's going to be relaxing and something that you truly enjoy the smell of. It really supports magnesium levels. It relaxes muscles and it enhances detox pathways. So detox baths are such a great thing. And my absolute favorite is infrared saunas. I need to have one in my house. That is my goal because I spend way too much money on infrared saunas. But they penetrate deeper than traditional saunas and they support cellular detoxification. They improve circulation, they lower inflammation, and they boost immunity. All things that we want to support to prevent cancer and to prevent a reoccurrence. Studies also show that sauna use can improve cardiovascular health, which we know is incredibly important if you've had radiation or chemo. They help reduce stress and promote better sleep. And for me, it feels like magic. It's detoxifying, it's restorative, and it's healing all in one, and I love it. So if you haven't tried one, try one. And 8 is quality sleep. Which is, last but not least, I save the best for last. Quality sleep is so important, you guys. It's the most underrated healing tool that we have. During deep sleep, the brain's lymphatic system clears toxins and metabolic waste. Okay, that's first and foremost. It also is a time where DNA damage is repaired, immune cells like NK cells and T cells are replenished, hormones reset, including melatonin. That's again, the powerful anti-cancer hormone that we want to support. But we also know that poor sleep is linked to higher inflammation, to insulin resistance, and can reduce immune function. So protecting my sleep means protecting my recovery. Deep sleep is a non-negotiable. I want my body to detox. I want my body to repair. I want to support my hormones, and I want it to heal. Sleep is the number one thing to do this. 7 to 9 hours if possible, okay? Here are some tips for sleep. keep a consistent bedtime, create a screen-free wind down routine. So stop screens maybe an hour to 2 hours prior to going to bed. You know, put on an audiobook or listen to something if you really need something to do. Read an actual book. These are all things that calm the nervous system and help trigger the body for sleep. And make your bedroom as dark and cool as possible. Like go down to 65 degrees, go down to 68 degrees. I know it sounds silly, but the cooler the room, the deeper sleep we can get. And it also helps with fat burning too. So I treat sleep like it's the most important meeting of the day, because it is. And because when my body doesn't sleep, I can feel it, and I can feel it in every way possible, and my cravings and my brain and how I'm thinking and how I react. It's horrible. Not getting sleep truly is one of the worst things that I think we can experience and what we can do for our body. Our body does its deepest healing work when we are in a good deep sleep. Okay. So there you have it. These are 8 daily habits that I refuse to skip even on my hardest days. Gratitude, sunlight, matcha, movement, protein, stress breaks, detox practices, and sleep. These are my go-to. They may seem simple and very basic, but together they are a powerful medicine. These are habits that help me rebuild my body after cancer and continue to protect me today. But remember that consistency matters more than perfection. So if you are like, where do I start? What do I do? Just pick one. Pick one off of this list and master that. Become very consistent with that and then build from there. Add another. Become very good at that. Master that and then add another. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. Do not get stuck in that perfectionist way. It does not have to be all or nothing. Choose one and become a master at it. You can do this. These are the building blocks of that foundation of health that's going to help protect and restore your body. Okay, so I challenge you to try it. Thank you so much for tuning into Cancer Proof Living. If today's episode resonated, please share it with someone who needs encouragement. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode with me. And always remember, your daily habits are your most powerful form of prevention. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk soon.